But let's see what our next caller has got to say. And we go now to Oxford. And Charlotte is waiting to speak to us. Hello, Charlotte.
Hello.
And your question, please.
Well, my problem, I my sons and my mother were diagnosed about 5 years ago. And my problem is not so much with the diet, but how more people that I meet can actually get the diagnosis. Because I meet so many people who say, oh, I think I or my son or my sister might have a problem with gluten. But my doctor said, oh, you can't have celiac disease because, you know, you haven't lost weight or your son hasn't got diarrhea, or even people, GPs, who say, you know, you're not Irish. Too many GPs still seem to view the condition as very rare and the blood test is expensive. So I'd like to ask Professor Sikdatira two questions. Firstly, given that 1% of the population perhaps has this condition and that he himself has called for GPs to test for it as routinely as for diabetes and thyroid disorders, how can GPs be persuaded to do this?
I think there has been a problem here because of the change in our awareness of the prevalence of the disease. As I've said previously, we've gone from a situation of roughly 1 in 2,000 to roughly 1 in 100. And clearly, if people have symptoms pertaining to the tiredness or the anemia or diarrhea, then they clearly should be screened. And that is a relatively straightforward thing that should be available through a general practitioner's surgery. And I think the general practitioner should be asked if they would be willing to provide a blood test for the patients. You touch on another aspect that being Irish, and you obviously appreciate that there is an increase prevalence of the condition in the Irish, both North and Southern Irish, and it's been shown that it affects in excess of 1 in 80 of the population.
Any idea why that might be?
It's thought that the increased prevalence is because the main staple of diet in Ireland has been potatoes, and if you have very severe celiac disease, you have problems with fertility, and therefore, but the natural selection process has not actually occurred so much in Ireland because the wheat wasn't previously present until it was introduced relatively later than in the UK.
And across other ethnic groups, is this also equally prevalent?
It's prevalent in virtually all ethnic groups, with the exception of Afro-Caribbeans, where it's relatively uncommon. And in particular, people of Asian extraction, it also is common. But this is clearly relevant as to what they're taking with their diet. For example, if you have Chinese who are actually purely eating rice, then it doesn't present as a problem. But if you investigate them, then you find that the prevalence in many of these populations is the same.
So you're going along with what Charlotte is suggesting, that screening tests, simple blood tests at the GP, if you have some cause of concern, would be a perfectly reasonable request for a person to make on their own behalf or on behalf
Absolutely.
Of the child.
Absolutely, and I would agree with Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte obviously has read about this because there is an increased prevalence in diabetes of roughly 8% and in thyroid disease of 6%. And also, if anybody is symptomatic and who has a first or second degree relative with the condition, I believe it is important that they be screened because, again, we're talking about in first degree relatives a prevalence of 10%.
And the importance of picking up the condition is what exactly?
Well, that is very interesting and I think an excellent question, because why should people be treated? We've already heard that Stan has tiredness at the age of 81. I personally believe that's very important to treat, because I suspect strongly that Stan will actually improve and feel that he's got generally more energy. We've heard about the 2-year-old child with vomiting, some diarrhea and generally failure to thrive. Now that child will be much improved, assuming that the diagnosis is confirmed, by going on to a gluten-free diet, and otherwise would have major problems with growth retardation. And also, and those people who are symptomatic, for example, we heard Claire previously, asymptomatic, alright, it's only iron deficiency, but there are a number of vitamin deficiencies that occur, and particularly things like thin bones, which improve with a gluten-free diet. And for that reason, I think it is very very important that people with a diagnosis do actually take a gluten-free diet.
And just to back up what you're saying, I've got an email from a listener who says she had anemia for many years. Heavy periods were blamed. After menopause, though, they looked again. And at that point, when she was diagnosed with osteoporosis, they tested for celiac. And lo and behold, she has had celiac. So, of course, she's making the point, too, these things should be picked up. As she calls them, the missing celiacs should be found and treated with a gluten-free diet.
Absolutely. And that only confirms what I've previously said. But not only that, but many of these problems, such as the osteoporosis and the anemia and the vitamin deficiencies, although they should probably be treated as in the first instance for themselves, but will improve with a gluten-free diet. And therefore, the simple expediency of taking the correct dietary regime will resolve many of these problems.